planet, and they all derive their eatables from their planet in different form. On the basis of this description, how can one assume that there is no living entity on the moon? Every moon is earthly, being composed of the five elements. Every planet produces different types of food according to the needs of its residents. According to the Vedic Shastras, it is not true that the moon does not produce food or that no living entity is living there. Om Ajnan Simirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18, Verse number 26, Translation. The planet Earth supplied everyone his respective food. During the time of King Prithu, the Earth was fully under the control of the king. Thus all the inhabitants of the Earth could get their food supply by creating various types of calves and putting their particular types of milk in various pots. So we have been reading few verses which describe that how after Mother Earth started cooperating with King Prithu, then all the various living entities in various forms, they with the help of their respective castes gather foodstuffs or gather their desirables, gather their requirement in their respective parts. It started when King Prithu himself, with the help of Swayambhu Manu as a calf, gathered grains and herbs. Then the sages, with the help of Brahaspati as calf, gathered Vedic knowledge. The demigods, with the help of Indra as a calf, gathered Somras and so many other personalities. The snakes gathering poison. The ancestors, Pitralok, the inhabitants of Pitralok, they gathered Kavya. The cows and the other herbivorous animals, with the help of bull as the calf, they gathered green grass in the forest as a pot. The herbivorous animals, with the help of lion as a calf, they gathered flesh. So like this, all the living entities in various forms, with the help of their individual calf and individual parts, they gathered their material. In all these things we see one thing common, is that all the living entities choose the calf which was their chief, the chief among them. One of the chief among them was chosen as a calf. This shows that even though the Lord provides to everybody, at the same time the chief of the family or the chief of the society or the chief among a group is instrumental in maintaining the society or in maintaining the family. The responsibility of the chief is not just to rule or control. The responsibility of the chief includes that he should make sure that everybody is being maintained by their respective food. The planet Earth didn't say that I am ready to give food so everybody eat grains. one Menu, only Khichdi today. No, the planet Earth gave what all the living entities wanted. And in this creation of the Lord, there is equal balance in such a way that different living entities, they require different foodstuffs or different stuff as their maintenance. That is individuality. Within the conditional life, different jivas have individuality based on their different modes and different karmas. So we see even in human society, different individuals, they like different foodstuffs. And then when we change to different species, we go from human to animals, then animals have different foodstuffs. Among animals, there are herbivores and carnivores. They have different foodstuffs. Then birds, then fishes, then trees. So we all are individual. And based on that individuality, everybody has their likes and dislikes. And Mother Earth, as per respective individuality of various living entities, provided varieties of foodstuffs. In the same way, even among non-conditional living entities, that means pure devotees who are beyond the modes, there is individuality. We should not think that only the modes are responsible for individuality. Even the spiritual energy, even though Satchit Ananda, even though one in quality, expands itself into varieties. In Sri Chaitanya Chaitamrita, there is an episode after Gundicha Marjan, after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leads all his devotees and associates in cleaning Gundicha temple. They all have kirtan and then they sit for prasad. So when they sit for prasad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes arrangement in such a way that every devotee is served that kind of Mahaprasad which he likes the most. Now the point here is that all the devotees are pure devotees, so they should all like same prasad. They should not differentiate between two prasads. Otherwise it is considered offensive. If you differentiate between Rasgulla prasad and Karela prasad, both are Mahaprasad. And that is true. And at the same time, there is individuality. So even though there is respect for all type of prasad, there is individuality by this devotee. This is not discrimination based on material modes or taste only. It is individuality. The only understanding of this is individuality, which means two living entities or two devotees are different. So in the same way, all the living entities or the group of living entities, being individual, they had different castes which were their chiefs, and they had different pots also. Even the pots are different because of individuality. I remember in my childhood, we read a story in our textbook, English textbook. There was a story of a fox and a stork. Fox is Lombri. And stork, anybody knows Hindi stork, like a bagula, a bird with a very big beak. So this fox and this stork, they were friends. So one day, the fox told the stork that please come and have dinner with me. Priti Lakshanam, come and have dinner with me. So he agreed. So when he went on the appointed time, he saw there was a smell of very nice foodstuff. The stork was already very hungry and smelling such nice soup, was very happy. But on the dinner table, there were two big flat plates The fox, he used to eat his food by lapping with the tongue, just like cat does. So it requires a flat plate. But the stork cannot eat his food like that, because the stork has a big beak, so it cannot drink like that. So during that dinner, the fox had very nice full belly dinner, and the stork remained hungry. It can just touch the tip of the beak in the soup. So the fox started laughing and he said, "Oh, I think you didn't like the soup." And the stork had no words to reply. So he left completely hungry. So the next day, the stork asked the fox, invited the fox, "Please come and have dinner in my house." And when the fox went, again there was nice soup, nice smell, nice fragrance. And on the dinner table he saw two big narrow-mouthed vases like flower pots. Now a fox cannot drink from this. His mouth will not go inside. He can just lick the outer part. But the stork with his beak can very easily drink from this. So the stork had nice dinner and the fox was empty stomach that day. The moral of the story is different than we are discussing here. So the point is that different folks, different parts. Different living entities, different parts. So in order to serve and maintain all the living entities, it requires very high intelligence. Because all living entities have different foodstuffs and different parts. We cannot equate all living entities together. We cannot invite all living entities in our house and feed them and think that we will manage. No, somebody will have foodstuff which we cannot imagine. Somebody will have pot which we cannot imagine. Somebody will have requirement which we cannot imagine. That's why the requirement and maintenance of the whole world is taken care by none other than Lord Krishna himself. Because it requires only Lord Krishna's intelligence. He has created so that he can maintain it nicely. So in the name of maintenance, if you think that because everybody requires same, so I should be impartial. Because if I give different foodstuff to different people, then it will look like partiality. So let me be impartial. But without proper knowledge, if somebody is impartial, then he will become impersonal. If Mother Earth thinks that if I give different to different, then people will think I am partial. So let me give all one, same food. That is not impartiality. That is foolishness. That is impersonalism. In the same way, the chief of the family or the leader of the society, of course he has to be impartial. But impartial does not mean impersonalism. Being impartial doesn't mean that an individual's needs or feelings are not attended to in the name of impartiality. So many times in especially corporate organizations or big organizations where there is bureaucratic processes, people tend to follow rules, and the rules are made in such a way that there is impartiality everywhere. And unfortunately, that impartiality converts into impersonalism, because people are not having knowledge of individuality. So service to mankind can be done only when we understand the actual requirements of mankind. Just in the name of service or impartiality or morality or ethics, without knowledge of individual requirements, one would end up in disservice. That's why the maintenance of this world can be done only by Krishna. He is the one who is full in knowledge. He is the one who understands everybody's individual requirement. Since he is sitting as Paramatma in everybody's heart, So the actual well-wisher of any living entity is Krishna himself. If you think I am somebody's well-wisher and I can make sure that somebody is happy by my efforts, then that is foolish. We can help somebody not by that person coming in contact with us, but we can help somebody when that person comes in contact with Krishna. As one advances in spiritual life, the more he advances, the more he thinks that I cannot be anybody's well-wisher. Only Krishna is everybody's well-wisher. So let people come in contact with Krishna. Let people surrender their lives to Krishna. Let people take shelter of Krishna. Let people offer their service to Krishna rather than coming to me, rather than thinking of myself as a center. So Lord Krishna, being supreme maintainer, he provides to everybody as they require. He provides this through this planet. Like we stay in this planet Earth, so he provides to us through the planet Earth whatever is required. Today, modern civilization is even gaining oil, which is not required to planet Earth. It is the unnatural use of planet Earth, which most of us know. Oil is the center of all the problems of this world. Economy, pollution, wars, politics, international politics, Middle East politics, all these problems, and which are continuing to be there, modern recession, is all because of this oil and dollar, which is invention of modern mind, which is unnatural exploitation of Mother Earth, digging. Prabhupada writes in first canto that this digging for oil or other substances is demonic activity, because the same job was done by Hiranyaksha, and he digs so much that Mother Earth lost its balance in the space, in the lotus stem, from the orbit, and fell into Garbhodakshaya ocean. So this is all Ugra Karma. This is taking these things from planet Earth. Whatever natural system through which we receive foodstuffs or requirements from planet Earth, that should be accepted. And Lord Krishna maintains Earth through the planet Earth, and Mother Earth gives through the process which is called Yajna. One may think that we don't see Lord Krishna maintaining us. I am being maintained because I do a job. My family is maintained because I am doing a business. I am getting my food because I am teaching in the university. Or I am getting my resources because I am stealing or begging. There are so many professions through which people think, they feel that this is my maintenance. But that is wrong. This job, this business, this stealing, this teaching, this begging, all this, these are called sources of income. Through these professions, people receive income, not maintenance. There may be different sources of income for different people, but there is only one source of maintenance for everybody, and that is Krishna. We cannot eat our income. We cannot eat our salary. Earlier they used to get cash currency notes as salary. Now they get check, only one paper. Earlier so many papers. But in spite of one or more paper, we cannot eat those papers. We need to eat foodstuff. And that foodstuff is not produced by that salary. That foodstuff is produced by Mother Earth. if Mother Earth stops giving foodstuff and our salary goes on increasing, is that any value? There is no value. Just because mercifully Mother Earth grows foodstuff and that salary and that cash is convertible to foodstuff, that's why we think this salary is the cause of my maintenance. The day this conversion of cash to crop, cash to foodstuff stops, we will throw our cash on the road and we'll cry for food grains. So just because there is conversion of cash to crop, of cash to food, people think that this cash or this salary or this hard work or this going to office or going to factory is the source of my maintenance. It is a big illusion coming from this conversion. But there are proofs in the history that where this conversion was at a loss. In 1930s, it is called a very black time of America. There was a very big recession just like we have now. And that time, because of the recession, the price of the commodities was so high that people used to take cash in the bags and bring back bread in the pocket. Even today, in Zimbabwe, there is very high inflation rate. So much high that in last 2 years, the government has printed higher notes, higher value notes, 17 times. No longer 10 units or 100 units or 1000 units are used by people there. People are using lakh unit notes. Why? Because inflation has become so much that the one packet of bread which was costing 10 units is now costing lakh units. So this case can arise anywhere. And today the whole globe, the economy of the globe is on the brink of such a thing. So because this cash is being converted to foodstuff, we depend on this cash. But we should understand this salary is not our source of maintenance. It is just these jobs just are our source of income. And it has nothing to do with maintenance. Our maintenance, our source of maintenance is only one. One and only one. And that is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of God. He is the one who is maintaining us. He is the man who is maintaining all the living entities. When a child is born, his milk is ready. Not because he did some job in the womb and this is his provident fund. No, his milk is ready because Krishna is maintaining. Animals, their food is ready. From ant to elephant, everybody gets their meal right where they stay. Because Krishna maintains all living entities, irrespective of anything. That is Vishnu. That is the job of Krishna. He maintains. So what we have to do is just serve Him. We don't have to serve a karmi boss working hard for His sense gratification and in return He gives us some money. Better we serve Radharas Bihari. Best boss, better boss, perfect boss. He is anyway supplying us. So our resources, our energy, our body, our mind, our words, we should utilize in the service of Lord Krishna. If service has to be done, He is the only worthy person to receive our service. He is the only worthy person to reciprocate with our service. He is the only worthy person to accept our service. He is the only worthy person to accept our surrender. Others cannot. Either based on ignorance or based on bad motivations, others will exploit us. When we serve others, they will use us in their sense gratification. They cannot use us for anything else because people don't know anything else. People don't know beyond their senses. People don't know anything beyond I, me, my, mine. That's all people know. In today's cutthroat competition in the corporate world, people actually squeeze their employees in the name of increment, in the name of hikes, in the name of allowances. Actually, they squeeze the employees. They give some 1,000 rupees to the employees and get profit of 1 lakh rupee from each employee. And all that money they stuff in their pocket. So this corporate culture is very bad. I heard one officer, he was explaining the corporate culture by saying 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3 means hire one, give a salary of 2, and get the job done of 3. So that one person who is hired, he thinks, oh, so nice. In previous company I was getting 10,000, this company is giving me 20,000. But he doesn't know, when they hire one, they have a vacancy of 3. And they give the job of 3% to one person. So people think I am getting increment, I am getting promotion, but actually they are getting more exploited. It is just like a donkey who was carrying 25 kilo clothes of the dhobi and he gets promoted to 35 kilo. And the donkey is so happy. Last year I was carrying 25 kg clothes, this year I am getting 35 kg. But my dear sir, you are eating the same amount of food. You are not eating 2 more chapatis or few more grass. You are eating the same amount of food. Because of our artificial lifestyle, because of our unwanted status or opulence, we want more money. Money is being converted to furniture. Money is being converted to new models of mobiles. Money is being converted to better looking clothes, better house, because it's being converted like that, so we want more money. And then when we have all this opulence, it is mode of passion, we lose our service to Krishna. We lose our desire to serve. Mode of goodness means minimum objects in our house, minimum objects in our life. That is mode of goodness. As the number of objects increase, mode of passion increases. So it is important that instead of relying on our sources of income as the cause of our maintenance, we should understand and rely on Krishna as a source of our maintenance. And this society is being maintained by the Lord through the planet Earth when there's a everybody participates in what is called yajna. Yajna means sacrifice. Sacrifice what? What do we have that we sacrifice? Everything belongs to Krishna. But a loving offering to the Lord of what He has given us is sacrifice, is something which pleases Him. So when various living entities in the society, especially human society, perform yajna, then that process of yajna automatically yields putta. This process of yajna is very scientific. Though we understand that yajna pleases Vishnu as well as the demigods, and because the demigods get pleased, they provide rain, and by that rain, grains are grown. At the same time, we should understand all types of yajna. There are various types of yajnas. They please Vishnu. Yajna is done to please Vishnu. He is Yajneshwar. He is the Lord of sacrifice. He is enjoyer of sacrifice. He is the one who is supposed to receive the worship of the person who, of the Yajman, of one who is performing yajna. Yajna is not performed for any other cause. If there is election, somebody performs yajna. Or this India-Pakistan match, people will perform yajna. This is all foolishness. These yajnas have no value. So-called pandits or so-called brahmana, who is not qualified, who is not pure, and it is Viva Yajna. How that Viva will be successful? When it all started with an unqualified Brahmana, that Viva Samskar becomes Antim Samskar. There's no value. Yajna means that which pleases Vishnu. And Vishnu is pleased only through a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Vishnu is pleased when we perform it with due process, as per the scriptures. So when the human society participates in Yajna, then the maintenance becomes more easy. The Prabhupada says that as Kali Yuga will advance, as people will become more demonic, as people will more engage in sense gratification, there will be scarcity of food. Even presently, we see there is scarcity of food. In understanding through the fact that the rate of the simple foodstuffs or commodities is very high. It may be rice, it may be dal, it may be wheat. We see the rates are increasing, not decreasing. And this is, such a market condition is because of lack of supply. And this is because farmers do not want to produce. Farmers are coming to cities and becoming employees, becoming working hard for the meals, for the industries, those producing nut and bolt. But we cannot eat nut and bolt. So less and less agriculture is happening, more and more urbanization is happening, more and more industries are being created. And more the industries are being created, the more ugra karma or more sinful activity is performed. So Mother Earth reduces giving food. The same tract of land can produce 10 times food grains than it's producing now, if it is being done according to scripture, if Vishnu is being worshipped. But if there is demonic population more and more, then Mother Earth doesn't like to give, doesn't like to provide this necessity. So even though there is lots of public understanding that industrial revolution is very nice, but actually that is not true. Because the whole Vedic culture is being destroyed by this. When cows are destroyed, lands are destroyed, that means Vedic culture is destroyed. So the industrial revolution is no good. If the society wants peace, prosperity and better situation, industries have to go. Agriculture has to come again. That's why Prabhupada insisted on farm communities. These modern industries or the principles of modern society, they are not based on Vedic principles. So when principles are broken, it may seem that we are having more comfortable and more convenient lifestyle. But when principles are broken, Vedic principles are broken, we lose. We don't gain. Forget the society, even in our individual life, if for some convenience or some comfort or some profit of wealth or some profit of image and reputation, if we bring the if we break our principles, then we lose our integrity, we lose our character, we lose our good luck, good fortune. We lose, we don't gain. Somebody speaks lies just to save his skin, or just to save some money, or just to save his image. He becomes dishonest. At that time he may save something for himself, for his comfort and convenience, but actually he lost dharma. In Kali Yuga, out of the four pillars of dharma, only one is remaining. Three are already gone. Which one is remaining? Truthfulness. And that also we sit and break. Then the whole dharma is gone. Then we are under the shelter of adharma. And adharma doesn't give peace. Adharma doesn't give joy. Adharma doesn't give victory. Adharma doesn't give opulence. So even in our life, we should make sure we follow dharma. Honesty, truthfulness, these are very important. If by being honest and truthful, I lose, that is okay. I lose my wealth, I lose my reputation, that is okay. I lose my position, I lose my respect, that is okay. But I should be honest and truthful. Because even if I lose all this, I'll gain dharma. I'll gain the mercy of the Lord. What is the use of gaining everything but losing dharma, losing mercy of Krishna? Krishna is on the side of dharma. And one who follows religion, dharma, he is protected by dharma. One who protects dharma, he is protected by dharma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, my dear Arjuna, evil cannot overcome good. This is one of the principles of this creation. Whatever the situation may be, whatever the circumstances may be, whatever the time and place may be, one thing is sure, evil cannot overcome good. It may happen in the process, in the duration of our life, sometimes we may observe or experience that evil is winning and good is losing. But that is only temporary. That is not the final outcome. In the final, up till now, in the whole history, we have seen evil cannot be overcome good. So it is in our own interest that we do not cooperate with evil, that we do not cooperate with adharma. It is in our own interest that the society becomes honest and truthful. Now, whatever number of dishonest people may be in the world, we may not have much influence on that, but we can do at least minus one. We can reduce one dishonest person, and that is myself. So when we follow dharma, then we can expect maintenance as required, as we desire. That is our yajna, to follow dharma, which includes our chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is also yajna, sankirtan yajna, which is also dharma, yuga dharma, sanatan dharma, seva, service to Krishna, which is puja, worship to Krishna, is also tapasya, austerity for Krishna. So this holy name, chanting of the holy name is including everything. All kind of duties towards the Lord, all kind of activities for spiritual upliftment of the society which needs to be performed, it is included in this chanting. So chanting the holy names of Krishna and preaching about this holy name is highest yajna, the highest tapasya, highest puja. So when we do this and we encourage others to do this, we are doing very great welfare for ourselves as well as the society. When we take the shelter of the holy name, when people take the shelter of the holy name, they directly come under the shelter of Krishna. And Krishna can take care of everybody much better than we can think. Krishna is maintaining everybody, he will continue to maintain everybody. So for ourselves, we should do that. And this is not for planet Earth, this is for all living entities in this universe, in all the planets, in all the universes. Srila Prabhupada writes that there are living entities in other planets also. It is a foolish idea to think that moon does not have any living entity. Minimum moon god is there, Chanda Mama. He is there, his wife is there, his children are there, his brothers are there, his father and mother are there, his other living family is there. So many are there. In all planets there are living entities. And each of those planets, every living entity can get food from that planet. Nobody has to go to other planet to get its food. each planet is complete in itself. That means can provide food to other living entities. Somebody went claimed to go to moon and bring some rock and mud, rock and sand. Why you have to go to moon? Jupiter mein so much sand is there. You can just take that. Moon there are so many other dishes, a different menu, different recipe. So all these planets, they all are complete to provide foodstuff to the living entities which stay there. These planets are not empty. Just because we cannot stay somewhere doesn't mean no living entity can stay there. It's not judged like that. All planets are maintained. All living entities are maintained by Krishna through the planets where they stay. That is Krishna's arrangement. So one should understand this space physics, this space situation through scripture rather than through modern astronomers who claim so many things which are not true. So Krishna maintains all the living entities in all the planets through various provisions made by the planets. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we can discuss. Any questions? Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.